You have probably heard the story of the little boy and the jellyfish. There was a little boy, and he was on the beach. And while he was walking on the beach, there were many jellyfishes on the beach. And what did he do? As small as he was, he would pick one up, carry it all the way to the water, and then put it into the water. He did it a second time. He did it a third time. He did it a fourth time. And then an older gentleman came by and he said, "Boy, do you really think that makes a difference? Look at all these yellow fishes on the beach. There are thousands. And you carry maybe three or four or five back to the water?" And the little boy said, "Well, it probably doesn't make a difference to those ones that are still on the beach, but it does make a difference to the five that I brought back into the water." And that shows us a very powerful example. A powerful example that we can relate to what is true Christianity. In the book of Galatians, I read in chapter 5, verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such, there is no law." In Psalms 145, we read in verse 9, but since I am now reading in English, it is verse 8. "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works." So when we look at the Lord, Psalms 145, it makes the simple but very profound statement: the Lord is good to all. Very important. And so when we connect that to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, among the fruits of the Spirit, we find that word goodness. When we talk about Christianity, what are we talking about? We're talking about truth. The Bible says God wants all people to come to the knowledge of the truth. We are living in a world in which some people make Christianity quite cheap, when they say, "Well, you just have to believe, that's all. It doesn't matter what else, but it really comes down to believing in God." And while, of course, that statement is true, the Bible has a lot more to say along the lines of when we think about salvation. And again, in line with that, God says, "I want all men to come to the knowledge of the truth." Believing in God means learning the truth and making it your own and living it out. The Bible says in another place, God doesn't want anybody to perish, but that all come to repentance. And that is quite a word. When we talk about repentance, that is quite a word. It means you come to the full realization that what is wrong is still wrong, and what is right is still right, and you make a choice, an active choice to do what is right. Whether it is easy, whether it is hard, whether it is convenient, whether it's inconvenient, true Christianity comes down to, as Jesus said, if you say that you love me, do what I want you to do. Today we want to specifically talk about this concept of goodness. Again, we read in the book of Psalms, God is good to all. Does God make a difference between people? And the answer is no. God doesn't make a difference between people. He treats everybody alike. And that is the goodness of God. And that is the goodness that Galatians chapter 5 is talking about. That is what needs to be imprinted on our mind. That is what needs to be imprinted on the hard drive of our system. Do what is good to your family, yes, but also to the stranger, also to the unlovable, also to the unlikable. So when we talk about kindness, when we talk about goodness, it finds its source in God himself, Psalms 145. Let me read a portion from the book of Luke. In Luke chapter 6, it says in verse 27, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those that hate you. Do good to those that hate you. Bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. I have to be good to them that uses me? God says, yes. I have to do good to someone that talks about my back? God says, yes. That is Christianity. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you also to do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great in heaven, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Brothers and sisters, in our Bible study this morning, in our Bible study last week, we talked about the concept of giving. We've looked at a number of different passages in the New Testament that speak about giving. This is another important passage. God basically tells us here, I want you to do good. And then we say, to whom? And then God says, to everybody. And then we say, to our families. And God says, yes. To my grandma that I love so much because she is so good to me. Yes, be good to her. But then God continues the story. Even your enemies. Even to those that hate you. Even to those that spitefully use you. Even those that curse you. Even though that strikes who strikes you on the cheek. Even the one that takes away your cloak. Do good. When you look at the book of Acts, it always confuses me some. When I look at the book of Acts and I see that church growing, leaps and bounds. 3,000, 5,000, the Gentiles are coming in. What was their secret? There were more secrets than just one. But one of their secrets was they did good to everybody. They didn't start to look first who somebody was. Whoever was a fellow man became an object of doing what is good and what is right. Look at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And we look at verse 10 and 11. And it says, in this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another or be good to one another. Where does this concept of goodness start? Well, Psalm 145 already tells us God is good to all. And here we see, in relation to the concept of salvation, in this is love, in this is goodness. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. Brothers and sisters, why are we here? Why are we called Christians? Why are we called forgiven? Why are we reconciled? How are we reconciled? It is all because when we did not even know God, God says, I want to know you. The Bible says in Romans, when we were yet sinners, Christ died for the godly, for the good ones, for the morally upright ones. No, Christ died for the ungodly. Brothers and sisters, I say that sometimes, or I say it more than once, but we just sometimes need to take those binoculars and put them right at that biblical text. And we should not say, oh, I've read that before, I know what it means. Sometimes you need to refocus, right? You look at a verse like this, 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. The question that we are asking this morning, have we truly understood what this means? Have we truly understood then when Jesus died for us, we were still ungodly? We were the enemies of God? But what did God do when we were still enemies? What did God do when we were still unreconciled? God was working hard in order to bring us the salvation that we cannot do without. And so we are here singing, so we are here praising, so we are here partaking of the Lord's Supper, so we are here enjoying the peace that surpasses the understanding, so we are here enjoying forgiveness, enjoying all the spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. And the question is, why? Why do we have these things? It's because God is good. And you know, when we look at the Bible story, the Bible doesn't stop with God is good to us. When God says, I was good to you, then the Bible says, go and do likewise. That is one of the ways that God wants to evangelize this world. It is one of the ways that God wants other people to understand what true Christianity is all about. And when we look at our days in 2023, what do people see when they hear the word Christianity? They see a lot of abuse. They see a lot of false teaching. They see a lot of child abuse. And people say, if that's what Christianity is all about, not for me. And I would say, I can understand. Because that is not Christianity. True Christianity is, I was good to you, now go and do likewise. It doesn't matter who the other person is, whether he has an earring, a nose ring, a front head ring, whatever it may be. God says, you don't make a difference. I didn't make a difference. You don't make a difference. And too often when we talk about our interaction with other people, when you see the beggar on the street, are you rejoicing in your heart and say, wow, that's an opportunity for me to do something good? When you see the man full of tattoos, does your heart leap for joy and say, hey, that's an opportunity for me to do something good? When someone abuses you, does your heart leap for joy because it tells you, I have an opportunity to do something right? That is true Christianity. That is the heart of one of the hearts of true Christianity. You do good to everybody and you don't make a distinction. The kindness that is the fruit of the Spirit does not stop at rejection. That's where it actually starts and never stops. The kindness that is a fruit of the Spirit does not stop at refusal. It starts at refusal. It does not stop with hostility. It starts where hostility starts. And so when we look at divine goodness, Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 through 4. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 through 4. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound the trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your right hand know what your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. The goodness that we are to be called for is not something by which we glorify ourselves. The good deeds that we are doing are to the glory and honor of God himself. And that is why the Bible says, when you do a charitable deed, don't do it to be seen by men. Don't do it to be seen by others. But do it so that you glorify your Father in heaven. And that's another important element when it comes to the goodness of true Christianity. You do what is right, whether someone sees it or whether nobody sees it. You do what is good in the light as well as in the dark. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 says this: how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. What is the heart of the ministry of Christ? According to this passage, he went about doing good. And brothers and sisters, that should be our ministry. That is the ministry where the true gospel is become so powerful. When we do good wherever we may find it. And that is so important. That is so important to us as believers. That is how we show the light. That is how we let the aroma of Christ go into this world. Do what is good regardless. And of course, when we talk about those things, let us emphasize that that is not an option. The Bible says in James chapter 2, faith without works is dead. Our faith needs to become active. And of course, in more than one way. But for today, as we focus on the concept of goodness, we need to have that kind of goodness in our lives as Christ had in his life, as Christ had in his ministry. He went about doing what is good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. There are so many people in this world that are oppressed by the devil. There are so many people in this world that are bearing the wounds of their relationship with the devil. Because yes, if there is no relationship with God, there is a relationship with the devil. And so there are many that are oppressed. In other words, those people, wherever they are, wherever we may find them, in the deepest of hearts, they are oppressed. They are looking for relief. They are looking for somebody that says, I am willing to listen to your story. I am willing to give you my helping hand. I am willing to do for you what is truly good. I am willing to do and go for you the extra mile. I am willing, if you need one coat, then I can even give you two coats. What would that do to true Christianity? Sometimes we say the church is not growing. Sometimes we say it is hard to find people that are interesting. Sometimes we might have to put our hands in our own bosom and say, what have I really done to make true Christianity to be seen in this world? Seen with our neighbors. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says this. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good and necessary, what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted. Tender-hearted. That is what the Bible is calling for. It's like the old china that you got from your grandmother. The old china that you got from your mother. What do you do with it? You treat it with care. You treat it with dignity. You treat it in a way that you say, I don't want this to be broken. I need to be tender. I need to be kind. And brothers and sisters, this world is full of people that are so wounded in heart. They need your tenderness. They need your tender care. They have met enough people who said, not for you. No time for you. They have met enough people that wouldn't give them a hug or an embrace. Too many people. For too many people, they have been written off. Was ever anybody written off by God? And we know the answer is no. What about us? What about your fellow worker tomorrow? What about the teacher at school? What about them? What about those that are hurting and just are looking so much for somebody to listen to them? Somebody to care. Somebody that gives them a hug. Somebody that gives them an embrace. That is so important when we look at true Christianity. We look at Stephen. Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. They were stoning him to death. Can you imagine? They were pulling up rocks. They were pulling up stones. And they were ready to throw them at Stephen. And what did Stephen say? Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing. And of course, when you're in the hands of Satan, no excuse. You're still responsible for your own actions. But what about it if you're in the hands of Satan? And that is where we, the more a person is with Satan, the more we have an opportunity to show our goodness and to show the true colors of Christianity. Brothers and sisters, these things are so important. You look at a passage like Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 is a beautiful chapter that shows true Christianity. Look at verse 20 and 21. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, you feed him. If he is thirsty, you give him a drink. For in so doing, you heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Is it easy? It's not easy. But what did Paul say in the book of Philippians? I can do all things through Christ who giveth me strength. It's not easy when someone is using you to be kind to them. It is not easy when someone is hurting you to be kind to them. It is not easy when someone is spitefully using you and be kind to them. But that is where true Christianity is different. We have the Spirit of God. And as Paul says, Philippians chapter 4, I can do all things through Christ who giveth me strength. There is one more passage I'd like to share with you before we close. It's found in Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 29 through 31. 29 through 31. We read this verse already, but let us read it again. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. Brothers and sisters, what makes the difference? I believe the difference is in these words, or at least one of the differences is in these words. The Bible says we are strangers and pilgrims on this earth. If you are locked to this world, it will be hard to do good. If you are locked to your eternal abode, it will become possible. Because when we are locked to this world, we will be locked to our possessions. If we are locked to heaven, we will be locked to heavenly possessions. And our heart will leap for joy when we see a person in need. When we are truly connected to being the pilgrims, we are only here for a little while. Have you ever seen someone that went into an apartment only for 5 months in order to go to another beautiful house? Did they make it fully furnished? No. They just needed the main necessities, and then it was good enough. And brothers and sisters, in our goodness, in our sharing, that is the important principle to realize, at least one of the important principles to realize. We are only here for a while. This is not our home. This is only temporal. This is only for a while. Let us share with others as God has shared with us. Let us be good, even to our enemies, in the way that God was good to this world. God doesn't make a distinction. Matthew says the rain falls on whom? On the just and on the unjust. The sun shines on the evil and the righteous. God does not make a distinction. Let us not make a distinction either. Amen.